Okay, so in our last shiur on the right, the Mishnah on Ham and Beis, we went backwards a little bit just to tie up some of these dinim at the beginning of the Mishnah. So today I'd like to discuss two of these dinim. First one is the din of associated explicitly with Rabbi Shimon of Achi Azimu as Kulan, and then move on to Rabbi Kiva's Shita of this, Lahachmir Olav, and we'll see exactly what's being discussed. So in terms of the din of Achi Azimu as Kulan. So while the Mishnah is dealing with the case where you have a kat of three Edim, right, and two of them are Huzmu, and the third is not, there's another case in the Gemara, which is a more basic case of Achi Azimu as Kulan, where you have a case of two Edim in total, and you're only Mazim one of them, and the din is, again, of Achi Azimu as Kulan. So where does that Gemara come up? Exactly before the Mishnah, hey, and Beis, this is the topic of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tovai. Yaakov, just quickly, if you don't mind. Right, so again, this is the sugya of kasher zavam. You want a kasher zavam, a kasher asa. Right, to buy, want to make a point, right? That you don't. As long as you have the nigmar din, you actually don't have the nidon to be killed. So you want to show him, right? Show the tzedukin by killing an eid echad who was huzam even before the nidon was killed. So Amrlo. Right, you made a mistake. Why? Right, there's this din. It's right over here, it's the name of the Chachamim, which is interesting. And then similarly, the Imokin, Achi Azimu Shneim. So in this case, right, and again, it's very important. It sounds like this, the fact that it's said in the name of the Chachamim, it sounds like this din is Muskam Lekol. Right, it's agreed to by everybody. That's why no one is Menachem, right? Yehuda ben Tabai by saying, oh no, there's a Shitas Yachid like you. No, it sounds like everyone agrees in this case that when you have a kat of two and only one of the two Edim are Huzam, right? Everyone agrees that in that case there is no Din Hazava. The question is, what exactly is the source? What exactly is the Makor for that? So Rashi is going to offer and say, oh, there's a Drasha. If you look at Rashi over there, Dear Maskel Shari Amru Chachamim, go for Yaakov. Oh, so according to Rashi, what is the drasha? What's the makor for this din of Achi Azimu et Shneim? Right, our Mishnah number one. That's just where it's brought up. What's the makor? What's the actual drasha? Again, the hine et sheker ha'ed. Right, this drasha, right, which is the opening pasuk in the parsha of Azama, which says hine et sheker ha'ed, that you found the aid to be a shakar. And it sounds like, oh, sounds like the opposite. No, aid always refers to shnei aidim. So Rashi says you have a drasha of hine aid sheker aid, which says because aid always means shneiim, so therefore that means that both aidim of in the kat need to be husam. So while Rashi says there is a drasha, actually in the Shiurei Reb Shmuel, I didn't have you see this, but the Shiurei Reb Shmuel says that in this case you actually don't need a drasha. In this case of two aidim, you don't need a drasha. It's a svar. What is the svara? Anybody be mechavin to this? What do you think the svara is in a case where you have two Edim, you're only mazim, and only one of them becomes huzam? What's a svara to not put that one to death?
Because
you can't do anything alone. Exactly. Right, the whole idea of asisam kasher zama vasas lachiv is whatever those Edim zomim were planning to do to someone else. But in the case where you only mazim one eid echad, since that eid echad didn't have the ability to inflict any onesh upon the nidon, so memela to svara to say Achi Azimu et Shneim, and that svara is going to become important soon. So again, in the case of two of where Achi Azimu et Shneim, where only two and only one of the two is huzam, so there you have a machloket between Rashi who says it's a drasha, he did sheker ha'ed, right? While there's another alternative, Shurei Rishmul suggests, and we'll see maybe Rishonim hold of this, where he said no, maybe it's a svara pshuta in that case since that one eid echad couldn't do anything. Yeah. What? Yeah, we'll get there. So in the case of three, right, Tosfos seems to have a similar idea, 100%. Yeah.
I think there may have been a Tosfos that Eid Echad be Mechayv v'Shvua. So in the case where it's Mechayv v'Shvua and
for the Asizim Makashar Zambam, in terms of exactly what he was trying to do in the particular case. Yeah, exactly. It happens to be, which is fascinating, in the Gemara, it actually only talks about both in the letter of your Ara. It says, Achi is, right? It's actually interesting that the the, you know, when we're quoting the Chachamim, it's only in the context of Misa and Malkus. They, on the side, right, they point out that, like, the Gevurah has the drasha to add in Mammon there. That's interesting in your light of Ha'ara about Shavua. But for sure, at least by Misa and by Malkus, clearly that the Eidacha can't do anything. Yeah.
Slow.
Let's get there. We're going to get there right now. Again, in terms of the case of two Eidim, everyone agrees. Again, potential machlokas, whether that is a drush of Yinei Eid Sheker Eid, or whether that is a svar, the machlokas is going to come back to, well, now we're dealing with the Mishnah's case of three Eidim. Oh, so it comes along with Shimon in the Mishnah to say, oh, this hekesh between two and three Eidim is for this din. Shmuel, would you mind? Maybe Shimon Omer? So Shimon has this din that not only is Achi Azimu Shneim, like we had in the Gemara, it's also the Hekish between Beis and Gimel say, oh, we extend this even to the case of three. So here we're going to see that, again, while Rabbi Shimon clearly, right, adopts this din of Achi Azimu as, right, Shiazimu as Kulan, Rabbi Akiva is going to argue on this drasha. But the question is going to be, when Rabbi Akiva rejects the drasha and says, don't use the hekesh for that din, use the hekesh for Lahach Miralav, we'll get to the details later. The big question is Rabbi Akiva rejecting Rabbi Shimon's din, or is he not rejecting Rabbi Shimon's din? That's the big question. So again, the big question is, within Rabbi Akiva, does Rabbi Akiva agree to Rabbi Shimon's din and just reject the drasha, or does Rabbi Akiva completely reject Rabbi Shimon's din altogether? So let's go through it, and we'll see how this might come back to that machlokes we discussed earlier. So the first approach is that Rabbi Akiva agrees to Rabbi Shimon's din and just thinks that it's pashut. Again, who's the first person to say this? Rashi. So let's look at Rashi. Rafi, do you see it? Right? After saying that Rabbi Akiva clearly agrees to the Tanakama's din, which we discussed in the past, he says, Umemela Yadinan? So Rashi says, right, so Rashi is in this camp that Rabbi Akiva agrees to the din of Rabbi Shimon. He just thinks it's Pashut. How does he think it's Pashut? Right? Rashi says, Shitaso. Rashi says, oh, if the basis of the drasha, right, in the case of two, is Hine Echekera Eid, so then that's Pashut that extends to the case of three, because we know that there's a now, in the case of three Eidim, the Kat is now three Eidim, so now Ha'eid is referring to the Kat of all three Eidim. And we know from the drasha of Hine Echekera Eid that the entire Kat has to be Huzam. So Rashi Lishitasa, who says you already had this drasha of Hine Eid Sheker Ha'Eid, is going to say, oh, and it's a Svar Pshuta to extend that to the case of three Eidim, because to him it's a Svar Pshuta that when you have three Eidim being made, Toch De Dibur, that they're all one Ka. Yeah. So again, it seems like, according to Rashi, the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva is whether you need the Hekesh to be Mechadish that the third Eid is part of the same Kat. Or is that a Svar Pshuta? So according to Rashi, the Nekudas HaMachlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva is, do you need a Hekesh to be Mechadish that when you have a third Eid being made, Toch De Dibor, that they're all considered one Kat? According to Rabbi Shimon, you need a Hekesh to teach you that. According to Rabbi Akiva, that's a Svar Pshuta. Exactly. So again, everyone agrees that Hinei Eid Sheker Ha'Eid. Question is, that's point number one. The question is, well, what's Ha'Eid? Maybe that's only the Kat. So Rabbi Shimon says, oh, you need the Drasha, you need the Hekesh, the Mechadish, that the Kat now includes the third guy. According to Rabbi Kiva says, it's a Svara. Right? He says, Shari Kulam Ke'echa Nasu Eidim. He takes that as a Svara Pshuta. That's a good point. According to Shitas Rashi, the Krusa Machok is whether you need the Hekesh to tell you that the Kat extends the third. Yeah. One more time.
What does Rashi find so wrong with?
That's a good question. Why doesn't Rashi just adopt the Svar? Why does he need to?
If Rashi adopts the Svar, then he's a Svar Pshuta. So why is Rashi holding such a Svar Pshuta?
Yeah, maybe because, meaning, perhaps because even if you're only Mazin, let's say one Eid, at the end of the day, he was part of a Kat who was, you know, Bas Yislam Kasher Zama. So it's not an Eid Echad alone. It was an Eid Echad who was part of a Kat. So as part of that Kat, he was trying to, you know, inflict an onus upon the Nidah. Because the assumption of that Svara is that, you know, the Svara Bas Yislam Kasher Zama Lassus L'Achiv has to pertain to all the Eidim who are being Huzam. Maybe that's the underlying issue. Perhaps Rashi thinks that, no, just based on the Svara alone, and they, this Eid Echad was part of a Kat who was trying to inflict an ownership upon the Nidah. So even though the Hazam was only on one of them, you know, that Svara would fall on the wayside. Yeah.
Svaras and Drashis don't have to be mutually exclusive. They can both be true. Also, Rashi can say the Drasha is true for a case of three also. So it's true for a case of two. And you need it to do it for both cases also, even though in a Hanami, you could have said a Svara by the case of two and one difference.
Okay, in the beginning, if he held by the Svara by two, he probably would have just said it there. And Rashi clearly, in the earlier Gemara, doesn't say, oh, yeah, there's a Svara. You need two.
If you think it's true, that the
Drasha
is true for a case of three, one of them becomes Zama, then you wouldn't want to, like, Mephalik and say, oh, the case of two is only a Svara. No. The Drasha is only for a case of three.
Why are you saying, oh, the reason why the case of two is Muskum Lekol, because that's a Svara. Oh, the reason why it's a Machokis between Rav Shimon and Rav Akiva is because, oh, you need a drasha there, and Hakufa is the Macholkas, whether you have that drasha. You could have said that if you held that way. Okay, good. So again, in terms of this first Mahalak, that Rabbi Akiva agrees to the din, just argues on the drasha, you have Rashi. And again, so we point that Rashi, again, in terms of invoking the drasha, being the eight checker, eight is Lishitasa to earlier. And Rashi is also Lishitasa in Sanhedrin. Right, and Sanhedrin is sugya we've done in the past. Sanhedrin Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Again, there it's in the sugya of the third eight, saying Ini Yodea. We discussed this in the sugya in the context of Dintzach Hamem Karav Apostle. And again, there the Gemara quotes, says, "Oh, like the Hekesh of Rabbi Akiva." And Rashi, for whatever reason, we discussed in the past, says, no, when the Gemara says the Hekesh of Rabbi Akiva, really it's referring to the drasha of Achi Azimu Es Kulam. Oh, Frek Rashi, Rabbi Shimon says that no. Rashi says, "Oh, because Rabbi Akiva really agrees to Rabbi Shimon's din, he just has an alternative drasha." So Rashi here is Lishitasa to Rashi and Sanhedrin to holding that Rabbi Akiva agrees to the din of Achi Azimu as Kulan. Rabbi Akiva just thinks that you don't need the Hekesh for that. So that's just Rashi Lishitasa, both here and in Sanhedrin. Oh. So in addition to Rashi, again, who says that Rabbi Akiva agrees, you also have the Perush of Mishnayos of the Rama. Right? And we'll just do it a little quickly today. The Perush Mishnayos has a line. Again, on the Mishnah it says, V'divei Rabbi Akiva, Rei Shimon Nechonim, Me'in Aleim Choek. Right? No one argues on the dinam of Rabbi Akiva and Rei Shimon. El Kol Echad Mehem Omer in Yenachon. Just each one has their own drasha. So not only does Rashi think that Rabbi Akiva agrees to Rei Shimon's din, also you have the Rambam in Perush Mishnayos. And additionally, along with the Rambam, you have the Me'iri. Right? The Me'iri, again, also spells out like Rashi. I'm going to have the Miri quickly. Now the Miri is an important line. He says Rabbi Akiva agrees. It's just Shizu Lo Hutzricha. We have that line. Akiva in the back, yeah.
Shizu Lo Hutzricha Ma'acher Shekulam Eidus Achas Shahari Kasut Vihine Chekera Eid Shif.
So Rabbi Akiva is very much like Rashi, right? So according to the Meiri, right, Rabbi Akiva has his drasha of Hinei Eid Sheker Ha'id, and the Mela, you know that the Ha'id is the entire Kat, and it says the Meiri like Rashi. Rabbi Akiva thinks that's a Svara Pshuta, that the Kat now extends to all three Eidim who are made Toch Dei Dibur, and therefore you don't need the Hekesh to teach you anything. So again, Ankan is the first approach that Rabbi Akiva agrees to the drasha of Rabbi Shimon. You have Rashi, the Rambam, Perush Mishnayos, and the Meiri. Oh. But now we're going to get to the second approach, which says that no, that Rabbi Akiva rejects the din of Rabbi Shimon, and that means Rabbi Akiva thinks, in the case we have a cot of three, and only two of them are Huzam, still, those two Eidim are going to be subject to Azama, even though the third Eid was not Huzam. So we have this first in the Riva, quoted in the Nimuki Yosef. So let's, everyone can turn to the Nimuki Yosef. We're going to come back to this a little later. Yitzhak, do you see it? It says Riva Mefaresh. Then Yosef, I think it's Beis of the Beis. In the Ozvahadur, it's Hayyam and Aleph.
So Riva Mefaresh, to Rabbi Akiva, Kolek Arabi Shimon, and Mefaresh, Kakbo Ba Ashlishi, Lahakro Allah,
So it's not talking about the Kula case, it's rather talking about the Chumra case, and here's the key. So says the Riva, again, Mishnah Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva argues and says, even if in the case of a cot of three, you only have a Hazama on two of them, there's still the Din Hazama is going to apply. So you have the Riva and the Nimuke Yosef, and you also have, who else has this idea?
The Ritva.
Right, again, the first day in the Ritva, and Tosin Sanhedrin. In the first day in Tosin Sanhedrin. So you have the Riva and the Nimuke Yosef, you have the first day in Tosin Sanhedrin, Tes Amin Aleph. We're going to see that Lashon. If anyone can get out the Tosin Sanhedrin, it's an important Lashon. And similarly, the Ritva, also the first day up in the Ritva and Arsugya, also say this, but Tosos and Sanhedrin and the Ritva are going to have a very important Lashon, which I think Yosef was referencing earlier. Anyone have the Tosos and Sanhedrin? Okay, Kiva. When he says, so you must write, Umatzi Lameimar, say three lines down.
Umatzi Lameimar, the colleague other Mishimon, Spirly, then I argue, Apa Pish, Ain Shoshosan, Zobimin,
why?
The Savar, the Ain Lahakish, Losh, the Shnaim, the Indian Zet, the Kavan Dixiv, Nasis Mokashir, Zaman.
Oh, that's the key. All right, so Tosfos and the Ritva also says this. And what's the svara of arguing on this din of Achi Azimus Kulan? The svara is that since, right, you were mazim two out of three, and those two edim themselves had the koach to inflict an onesh on the nidon, so therefore, since you were mazim two Edim, who themselves could have inflicted an onish upon the nidon, therefore that's enough to fulfill the din of kasher zamam, and therefore the onish of kasher zamam is going to apply. So as Yosef was saying before, what do these rishonim seem to hold that was the basis of the din of Achi Azimu is kulam? The svara, right? And the reason why, again, according to Rabbi Akiva, the reason why in the case of two edim, if you're only mazim one, because one ed can inflict an onish upon the nidon himself. So if you take the perspective that the makor in the case of two edim, or only have hazam on one out of the two, that the makor in that case is a svara, then it's going to be limited to that case where you only have hazam on one ed. But therefore, in the case of three edim, where you have hazam on two out of three, then since the two did have the koach to inflict an onish upon the nidon, so the mamela hazama is going to apply in that case. So again, it seems like, according to, again, the Riva, the Nimuke Yosef, the first day in the Tosfos Sanhedrin, and the Ritva, the first day in the Ritva, according to them, they think the basis, the makor for this din, is a svara, and therefore it's limited to the case of kat of two edim, where you only mazim one out of the two. In the case of kat of three edim, where you mazim two out of the three, so that, since the two could inflict an onesh upon the nidon, the Mela, the din of Hazama, is going to apply in that case. So what we're just trying to show is that depending on what you think the makor for the din of Achi Azimu et Shneim is in the case of two, whether that's a drasha or whether you think that's a svara, might have a nafkamina in the case of three, where the svara falls away, but the drasha presumably stays, because at the end of the day, the kat comes to include all three edim. So Ad Kan is our discussion of the din of Rabbi Shimon, the din of Achi Azimu et Shneim, Achi Azimu es Kulam. Now let's move on to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so everyone turn back to the Mishnah. It's very important to read the Mishnah very carefully within Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so now they have a Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Moshe Roblowski, would you mind? Rabbi Akiva Omer. Right, so Rabbi Akiva says, no, the purpose of the Hekesh is not Lekula, it's rather the Chumrah. But Rabbi Akiva doesn't tell us what is this Chumrah, right? What is the case? But in addition to this line, Rabbi Akiva is now going to have an interesting characterization of this Chumrah, which might, you know, hint to the Rishonim, but what the case is. The Imkain. So how does Rabbi Akiva himself characterize this third, right, the third eight in this cot? As right, in the top L, the Oveavir. Probably means like an accomplice, right? He's an accomplice. So the big issue within Rabbi Akiva, again, number one obviously is what's the case. But in deciding what the case is, this is right, there's there is really a tension, as is discussed with some of the chevra. It seems like there's a tension between two different factors. Factor number one is the characterization of netapa la'ovrei aveira. With that implication, right, the implication of that characterization, netapa la'ovrei aveira, is that this third aid is not, didn't do the aveira himself, wasn't an over aveira, he's rather a netapa la'ovrei aveira. So that plays down, right, the role of the third aid. On the other hand, the din of Rabbi Akiva is that we give the onesh of azama to that third aid. So that alone implies that if we're going to give him the onesh of azama, so it sounds like he did violate the same aveira as the other two aidim did. So this tension in the different mefarshim, we'll play it out, is how much are you going to play up the factor of netapel over aveira to downplay the involvement of that third aid? And how much are you going to say, but at the end of the day, lamaisa, we're giving the onesh of azama, so it must be that that third aid did something significant as well. So again, we're going to see in the three different mahalchim in the Rishonim, again, this tension between netapel over aveira on the one hand, and the fact that we're giving him the onesh azama on the other. So this all raises the question again, what exactly is the case, which is going to explain both in the characterization of netapel over aveira, and the fact that, despite the fact that he's in a netapel, yet he's getting the onesh of azama. So we're going to see right now that there are three mahalchim in the Rishonim, right? Three mahalchim in the Rishonim in terms of what exactly is the case. So the first mahalach is going to be that the third aid was made just like the first two aidim, and he was made within toch de dibor of the first two aidim, and he's also huzam. So basically, according to the first mahalach, this third aid is basically just like the first two. He was made like the first two, toch de dibor of the first two, and he's huzam like the first two. So which Rishonim seem to adopt this approach?
Rashi.
Exactly. So there, excellent. So Rashi's not explicit, but Rashi seems to adopt this approach. You see, towards the end, the Dear Master Rabbi Kiva Omer says, V'lo ba el al hachmir alaf. Right, explaining Rabbi Kiva. V'lo ba el
al hachmir alaf. Sh'lo tamar hayo, v'lav du ha'yisai, edus miskayem, as the edus fulfilled.
Right, so Raj is saying the only reason to get this third guy off the hook is because, right, the onish would have been inflicted on the nidon even without him. Sounds like the only chiddush of the case is that he wasn't necessary for the gemara din to the nidon. Sounds like otherwise, there, right? Yeah. Otherwise, he was huzam. Otherwise, he's toch dei dibur. The only chiddush is that he wasn't necessary. So Linda Chakasov. So the chiddush, and we'll get back to this, is that no, even though he wasn't necessary, we see him as being part of that gemar din to the nida. So again, just in terms of what the case is, and we'll get to the analysis in a moment. Rashi again, for the fact that he says the only chiddush, the only havamina, is that he wasn't necessary for the din. It sounds like otherwise he was talking to Dibor, he was huzam, everything else, you know. He checks every other box except for the fact that he wasn't necessary for the case. So again, the implication is that, again, he was tochle dibur and he was huzam. Who else seems to hold like this? What do you say? Nim'iri. Okay, we'll get back to the Rambam a little later. Nim'iri. Anybody have the Nim'iri? Who was reading it before? Akiva. So he says, is it Ella af lahachmir olav? Right after you think part of So again, like Rashi, the Iri says that the only chiddush of giving the onesh to the third guy is that he wasn't necessary to the case. Again, otherwise it sounds like he was tolkadei dibor, he was huzam, all other boxes were crossed off. So again, that is the first approach. But now let's analyze it. And the question is that havamina seems to be very valid. In the end of the day, if the machayiv of hazama is that you the eidim zomim, inflict, right, sought to inflict an onesh upon the nidon, So in this case, to use the right, to use the Meiri's lashon, lo malav lo morid. This third aid did nothing to inflict an onish upon the nidah, because without him, the first two aidim would have inflicted an onish upon the nidah. So the question is, what's the maskana? Why are we giving the onish of hazama to this third aid if that third aid did not contribute anything to the onish to the nidah? Isn't that the mechayev of hazama? So what is the kamash milan? What is the gzeras akasev? Since he was mistari. Excellent, that's the key. So according to Rashi and the Meiri, right, the kamash milan of right the chiddush of the hekish is that we don't break it down and say, oh, the first two edim right alone inflicted the onish upon the nidah, and then the third eid came. If you break it down like that, so then there's no reason to mechayev the third person, because you already had it, right? The first two edim already were mechayev the nidah, and then the third eid came. Hagufa the kamash milan of the hekish is saying no. We don't view it as two edim and then a third edim. We view them as all coming the bas achas. Once they're all part of the same kat edus, once they're all tochnei dibur, so we view it as if all three edim gave the same edus, and the gemar din came from all of their edios together. So therefore, again, I think that's a meduk in Rashi, that limdech hakasev sha'af hu min mekayim davar, that even he was part of that same gemar din, because once they were all tochadei dibur, they're all considered one kat edus, and therefore the gemar din to the nidon came from all three of them. So while the havamin it seems very strong, he wasn't necessary. The kamash milan of the hekish is that that gemar din to the nidon is viewed as coming from all three together, not as if it came from the two and then he's a third anon. No, all three came together. That seems to be the kamash milan of the hekish. Or so good, Akiva?
Yeah, maybe the hekish from Romley Torres Edis. This isn't a Torres Edis hekish. We don't mean this isn't a Torres Edis.
No, because without it's partially Tochnei Dibur. I mean, Tochnei Dibur is just a tenai of when we.
This hekish, we apply the rules of Tochnei Dibur to Edis.
Yes, the rule is that as long as they were all tochadei dibur, we're going to view them as a kat three. You could have very well have said, once you got to two, boom, you have, and then yeah.
But once we have the if we came to say knowing the din of tochadei dibur, would we have had a reason to think we don't apply the din of tochadei dibur to edus?
Maybe tochadei dibur is only when it's necessary. Meaning, yeah, when you need to get to your threshold of two, so then tochadei dibur is. But once you got there, good. Close it up. We're good. Kamash milan, the hekesh between Beis and Gimel, say even once you're past that threshold, as long as it's tochadei dibur, they're part of that same cut. And that's, we're like so trained to think like this, but it is a chiddush because he wasn't necessary. But that's the goof of the point. Al pishnayim edim, or shlosha edim yakom davar, is that whoever is part of that cut, it's as if that gemar din came from all three of them, or all 100 of them, in whatever the case may be. So that seems to be the kamash milan, according to this first approach, that the gemar din to the nidon came alpi all three of them, not based on the two, and then this third guy is the nidon. But the kasha on this approach is what? What's difficult according to this?
Nitapala over Avera.
Nitapala over Avera.
Alpi Tiktika should be more like Nitapala or something like that.
Sounds good. Okay, I don't claim expertise in Nitzbal or in the grammar, but either Nitzbal or Nitzbal, whatever the case may be, right? Are you like?
Yeah, into this stuff.
Okay,
but still not for sure. You could just know for sure not Nitzbal. Anyways,
okay,
whatever.
So you're saying Nitzbal is more of a do. Fine. Okay, so the lashon of Nitzbal with the correct pronunciation according to Rafi, right? This character.
It's okay.
Right. Okay. So Nitzbal over Avera. So the big question is, according to this Mahalach, so that is where that's the weak point, right? The question is, why are you calling them a Nitzbal over Avera? They are Tochnei Dibur. They were an over Avera just like the first two. Are they Tochnei Dibur? They were Huzam. Everything that happened to the first two guys happened to the third guy. So what is this characterization of Nitzbal la'ovrei avera? So if you look very carefully, I think the Rambam, right? And the Perush of Mishnayos is trying to address this issue. So if everyone go to the Perush of Mishnayos. So the Rambam, I think, is going to give a take. And again, we'll see that. I didn't have you see this, but then Meiri also says this again on the Mishnah. So if you look, anyone have the Yitzhak? Have you got it, Akiva?
Sorry.
Yes, yeah, start from the top. Sorry. So where are you? Divrei Rabbi Akiva Perusha. Oh, different yourselves? Okay, yeah. Fine.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 Okay.
Fine.
That's the key, right? So I think what the Rambam is trying to do is saying, so what? Why are we focusing on Nitzbala over Avera? Is because, again, it's different Lashonas here, but mine is right, because lo ye, right, the ilu huzam hulavado, if that aid echad, if that third aid was alone, lo ye harik, right, he would not have been killed, ella al shenit starif la overe avera. So the Rambam and the Meiri does similarly, is saying that the line of nitpal overe avera, what it's doing, it's not coming to downplay his actions, like others learn it. It's not saying, oh, he didn't do the exact same thing as the first two. Because according to this Malach, he did do the same thing as the first two. What the Mishnah is trying to highlight is that the only reason why he ends up being Chayiv is because he was Mitzurav to the first two Edom. So in essence, according to this first Malach, what the Lashonis and the Mishnah of Nitzpal over Avera are not coming to downplay his actions as much as they're coming to explain that the only reason why he's Chayiv for those actions is because of his connection and his seraph to the first two Edom. Because if not for the seraph to the first two Edom, right, he would have been off scot-free. So again, it's a little lavdavka in Nitzbala over Avera, because it's not really a contrast of Nitzbala over Avera to an over Avera himself. It's rather just saying, yes, he was an over Avera, but if not for the fact that he was alongside these other two Edom, he wouldn't have been killed. Yeah. So I guess this is more like pre, yeah. This is like, the Chiddush is, meaning, I guess, we're trying to say, the Chiddush of the Pasuk is that we treat a Nitzpal as if he's one of the gang. That's the idea. So one's describing like pre, right? One's describing pre-Gzeres Kasev, one's describing post-Gzeres Kasev. Right, post the Hekish, they're all the same. But pre-Hekish, he would have been a lone man, like a lone wolf, right, then he wouldn't have been chayav. Kamashmula, no, that he's, you know, we don't view him as a nitzpal. He's just one of the cop.
Yeah, which is also just mashma. It's not a little man there.
Yeah, so that doesn't work so well. Again, the other Mahakam are exactly. All I'm just pointing out that some Rishonim, like the Rambam and the Meiri, again, Lashitasam, downplay the nitzpal over Avera and don't see it as a contrast to over Avera. Because within the first Mahalach, you can't say that. Because they did just as much. They did exactly everything that the first two guys did. So they say, oh, all the mission is trying to highlight is not to downplay what they did, but just to say that, oh, if not for the fact that they were mitzuruf to the other two, they, you know, the consequences of their actions would not have led to Misa. Yeah.
So, the Rambam also won't take this?
It's... From the Perush of Mishnayos, it seems like it. That's what it seems like. That's what it seems like. We'll get back to the Rambam's case in Yad HaChazaka. Yeah, I don't think the Rambam Yad HaChazaka in that Rambam we keep on, you know, discussing. I don't think that's like giving pshat in the Mishnah, but you know, we'll get back to that. Okay, so Adkan is the first approach, which says that yes, the third aid was Tocha de Dibur, and he was Huzam, and we, you know, pointed out the analysis and within that. Comes along the second Mahalach to say no, it's a bigger Chiddush. It's a bigger Chiddush to say that the third aid wasn't made Tocha de Dibur. Right? The Chiddush of the second Mahalach is to say that the third aid was Me'ah Dafka La'achar Tocha de Dibur. And if he's Huzam, then he's going to be subject to the Din of Hazama, even though he was Me'ah La'achar Tocha de Dibur. So again, what is So what is the earliest source for this chiddush, for this interpretation of Rabbi Akiva, that he's even going to be mechayiv in the onesh of Azama, even if he came la'achar tochtei dibur? Avos Rei Nasa. Very important. So the Avos Rei Nasa, everyone can, you know, it's on the Marv Kamashi. Again, Kidarko and the Avos Rei Nasa is a dramatization of the din, because the whole point is trying to, you know.
Before the, on the, no.
What?
I guess chronologically,
chronologically.
The first
thing. I mean, chronologically, yeah. So Avos Rei Nasa, chronologically, right, came first. Is that, do you see it? Read mine? Yeah. This is the Musa Shmuz part, right? As you know, if you can be medabig and connect yourself to Ovir Avira, you're also going to get punished for it. Okay, and that's a good part. Oh, so what's the case? So again, so the case of the Avos Rei Nasan is where, you know, the first two Edim were Meit. Then not only was it a Gemar Din on the Nidon, right? There was also a Gemar Din on their Hazama, right? Right? They were the Huzam. There's a Gemar Din. They're Yotzei Lihari. And after that, at least according to our gears, right? Avos Rei Nasan. After all that, the third aid comes along and says, "Oh, I agree with them." According to this, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Beis Din listens to their aides and says, "Oh, you're saying exactly like them. You're going to be subject to the din of Azama just like them." And there, and then it continues in the dramatization, right? The dramatization. Ilu. Ilu. I think it was an aleph here. It really should be.
Right,
so he goes, "Oh, you know, what a mistake. You know, if only I didn't come, I wouldn't have been punished. Now that I came, I am going to be punished." And then they respond, "You know, you shouldn't have done it. Or if many more people like you, we'd kill them too." Right, a little harsh. But, right, so Avos Rei Nasan clearly understands that the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva is that even when the third aid comes achar tochdei dibur, we're still going to give them the onesh of Azama like the first two. Okay? So again, before we...
Right.
Yeah.
But that's the... That was the Rabbi Nasan, right?
Yes.
And we see that also in the Rama. The Rama Mishnah Torah, we see that as well, that...
Can I give the din Hazama? No.
No.
Okay. This chiddush is going to give the din Hazama. Even if they're come back or talk, they were.
Yeah.
I don't think the Rambam says that.
Back to the Rashi, I have a question on it.
Yeah.
We say Lenipol Lovri Avira, we ask, well, how is that the case?
Yeah.
We say that if it wasn't for them joining in, that they wouldn't be Zome, was it that?
Meaning,
I'm
confused.
How do we say Lenitbal over Avera?
For Rashi.
Yeah, for Rashi.
Yes, as I pointed out, the Parashat Mishnayos and the Meiri, they downplay the Nitbal over Avera line and say, it's not coming to, like, you know, to downplay their actions. It's rather coming to say, but if those actions were alone, not Mitzurav to the other two, then they wouldn't be killed. So Nitbal over Avera is not saying, oh, they were just accomplices, but they didn't do it. They didn't do anything. It's more that, yes, they did just as much as the first two, but if they hadn't been Mitzurah, if they hadn't been connected to the first two, then we wouldn't have given them the Onish. That's what I'm called. So again, in terms of the second Malach, the Chiddush of Rabbi Akiva is that even if the third guy comes later, so you have the Avos Rei Nasan, but you also have Rishonim Musayas. Which Rishonim seem to hold this way?
The Mechi Yosef, one of the, I think it was...
No. Tosin Sanhedrin.
Wait, I thought there was the
Ribba, that was a different point.
Oh, that was the other.
That was a different point. That was not necessarily.
No, it was.
But we'll get it to Ritz Gaius.
Maybe it was not on the sheet, but it was on the one Ramakums that was on the sheet, but not. But it might for Pesper was to read out or something like that.
Okay, we'll get to the Ritz, what you mean. We'll get there.
Either to.
Okay, good. So again, the first one is the. So again, it's the Avos Rei Nasan. Second one is the Tosfos in Sanhedrin. So, Akiva Finkelstein, you see Tosfos Sanhedrin, after he explains, right, he quotes Rashi, maybe. Rabbi Akiva is agreeing with the din of Rabbi Shimon, but then he points out, even though Rabbi Akiva agrees with the din of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva has his own chiddush. You see, like towards the end, it says Afgal Dere Shimon Moded De Shloshta Neherogin. With the Rabbi Shimon, it's only when they're all talking in Dibur. So what's Rabbi Kiva coming to the Chadesh?
Achrakach.
So right, so it says Tosos v'shem Rabbi Kiva, that the chiddush of Rabbi Kiva is going to utilize the hekesh to mechadesh that even if the third aid comes achar kach, right, clearly achar tochadei dibur, we're still going to apply the hekesh to give him the onesh of Azama. So as Rafi is pointing out, so you have Avasar Nasan, you have Tosos, and you also have the Ritva. Right, Ritva has a similar lashon that if you want to assume right day at the end, that if you want to assume that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon are arguing, the argument would be that Rabbi Kiva is mechadesh that you're even going to give the onesh of Azama to the third aid when he comes achar kach. What?
Misread what I wrote. Yeah,
all good.
But yeah,
all good. All good. Okay, good. Good. So again, so what this middle approach, right, the second mahalach is coming to say, it's trying to, I think, balance those two points that we were saying before. Remember, pointed out on the one hand, the lashon nitzbal over avera, on the other hand, we're saying that we're giving the onesh of azama. So the way this middle approach balances that is perfectly. It's nitzbal over avera because they weren't tochdei dibur. They're clearly achar kach. They're clearly afterwards. They're just an accomplice, right? Before, right, at least according to for sure Avos Rabbi Nasan's version, right, even before this third guy came, the two Edom already would have inflicted an onish upon the Nidon. So you're clearly just a nitzbal over Avera because you're coming later. But yet they're able to explain why the third guy is getting an onish, because at the end of the day, he is Huzam, just like the other two. So the second Malach, again, is able to really, thread the needle, if you will, between the nitzbal over Avera because he came achar kach, but yet he gets the onesh of Azama because he is Huzam, in contrast to the third Malach, as we'll see soon. But you still have the question of... Yeah, sorry.
Can we really downplay the fact that he gets the punishment here?
What?
Can we really downplay the fact that he gets the punishment? That's not like something... It happens to be middle ground in the
city. Okay,
it's so massive chiddush.
Yeah, exactly. So let's get to that right now. Exactly. So, why is it a massive chiddush?
Because he wasn't part of
the... Exactly. He's not part of the kat.
He wasn't, right?
You have original kat, tochdei dibur. They were going to be mechayev the nidon, and this guy's coming totally afterwards, right? So the big question on this malach, right? 100%, it's right. It's the middle approach within the other two approaches, but at the end of the day, it's still a massive chiddush, as Akiva is saying. So the question is, how in the world can Rabbi Akiva be mechadish and to give an onesh hazama to this third guy who's clearly, seemingly not part of the kat? He comes clearly achar kach, for sure not tochdei dibur, according to Avos Rabbi Nasan's version, like way later. So what's the pshat? The pshat seems to be that Hagufa is the chiddush of the hekesh. The chiddush of the hekesh seems to be that we're going to view the third aid as part of the kat, even though he came later. So gufa, the chiddush of the hekesh, is that because this guy is a nitzbal over avera, right? Once he joins up with them, right, we're going to view him as if he was part of the kat, as if he was tochadei dibur, as if the gemar din which came out of the kat, included his edus. And once you say that, once you say the haguba, the chiddush of the hekesh, is to view this third aid as being part of the kat, that's how you understand, right, why he's going to be subject to the onesh of azama, even though he seems to, not be part of the kat. Because haguba, the chiddush of the hekesh, is to view him as part of the kat.
Wait, so what did that accomplish?
What?
What would he accomplish by coming to join the kat? Was he trying to save the other two? Because otherwise, there's no point.
Yeah.
Just one age.
Well, again, that could be a point to Officer Nelson why he has this oily, at the end. Like, what did I accomplish other than killing myself? But the answer is on Enochanami. He didn't accomplish anything. But at the end of the day, you know, the chiddush that comes out of it is that we're going to, there's a huge chiddush, we're going to, because of this factor of nitpal over avera, ke over avera, is we're going to bend the rules, the general rules of kite edim, to say we're going to view you as if you're part of the kat, even though the general rules of kat edus dictate that you're only generally part of the kat if you're within tochid edim.
Wait, so if he's not part of the, sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. If he's not, so if he's not Muslim, would the other two be spared? Because if he's considered like part of the cut regarding...
Oh, Lakula? It doesn't sound like it.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like it's only Lakula. Sounds like it. Yeah. Yes, it sounds like it's just Lakula. That's what it sounds like. Yeah, that's also a good point.
That's not Davka to that's not Davka lo lahakil. It could be.
So again, just to summarize, within this middle shita, it's a huge chiddush because at the end of the day, right, the third aid is not adding anything. Right, you have these first two Edim, which are going to kill, or going to inflict the ownership on the Nido. This third guy comes later. Doesn't seem like he's adding anything. They're saying, oh, Hagufa Kamashulana of the Hekesh, is that even though he didn't seem to contribute anything, we're going to expand the Kat to include him, and therefore to view that original Gemar Din against the Nido to have included his aid, the Edis of the third guy. But Rashi was within Toch de Dibor. So Rashi said, it's the same vort as Rashi, but Rashi was at least within Tochle Dibor. It's much easier to say that the third guy who's Tochle Dibor is viewed as the Kat. This is the Chiddush that said, no, even though he was afterwards, according to Avos Zerei Nasan, it could be years later. You know, still, that's the Chiddush to view him as part of the Kat. But you're right. It's like structurally similar that, oh, even the third guy, it's as if the Gemara didn't came from him, but it's a huge Chiddush to say that even though it was Achar Tochle Dibor.
Is this what the Rambam is dispelling?
Get there. Soon.
And in the Avos Rabbi Nasan, it would still have to be presumably before the actual Sechila of the other Eidim Zom.
Yeah, they're already killed, I guess. How could
it be? Because it says,
yes, it sounds. Why would that matter? You're saying, because otherwise you can't be. It could be the question is, you know, what's the end, right? We know that these Shitos are saying that Acher Tokhut Edim, but the question is, is there an end time? That's what we're suggesting. What? Yeah, so again, it could be that it's slightly different, you know, application of that. But that once, because Kasher also says the Nidon being killed, here is the Edim Zomim being killed, so it's a little different. But what I think, you know, what Shaul David is suggesting is that it could be that once the first two Edim are killed, so then we're not going to be Mitzare if this third aid to Edim who already killed. It could be only once they're alive could we expand and say, oh, the chiddush of the hekesh is to include this third aid within their cot. Once they're dead, it could be that no longer.
I still don't understand why you would say you would be mitzarei them, even why that necessarily would make sense, why you would be mitzarei the Edim after the gemarim of the first two Edims only. Why the third one?
After the Gemara Din of which Gemara Din?
The Gemara Din of the Edim Zomim. And why would you even start the third one to that?
Like, that's also a Chiddush. Yeah.
Right.
So again, meaning it's not clear. We don't know from the version in Tosas Sanhedrin and the Ritzvah. You don't know what the end point is. And it could be they're going to say, no, only up until, right, up until the Gemara Din of, right? So again, Avos Zerei Nasan clearly says until they're killed. It could be that Tosos and the Ritz were not going to go that far, but it's just not clear. All they say is, oh, I'll feel about Acharkach. They don't tell you what the end would be. It could be they're going to draw the line elsewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Why would it be different? The whole Tzirif is that they said that they're saying the same thing as
the first two. You're saying even after they're dead, you should do that?
That's the Tzirif. You don't have to have any shyness that he decides the fact that they're saying the same thing.
But again, you could. I can hear the chiluk to say that, yeah, but still, you can only you know, draw a circle around the three edim if the first two edim are still alive. Again,
the whole nitpil is that there's
yes, but I still think you can say, oh, once the first two edim are killed,
they're not saying the same thing.
No, but the, you know, now that kat edus is no longer. Again. According to you, you think the Avos Zerei Nasan is just teaching, is just a dramatization? But who if they came after they died?
No, you see the other direction, that's a dramatization.
What? No one actually holds, like, Avasari Dasan even come 3 years later.
But then you say Avasari Dasan is Latavka?
The opposite way, yeah.
No, again, it's hard to know, but again, I would take Avasari Dasan at face value, at the very least in the case that he's describing, that you know that you would extend the kata in that case. Again, to extend it past there after they're dead, I'm not sure. Yosef's arguing even in that case. I'm not sure. I can see being mechalik.
I think be a cat once they're dead.
That's what I'm saying. But Yosef's arguing, the tzeirav is all based on saying the same things, then you're still saying the same thing even after they're dead. But I can hear her saying that you're not going to, you know, you can't draw the line around 3 Eidim if the time the 3rd Eid gave the Eidus, the two.
Yosef said that to come to Beis Din in order for it to work. So
what?
There's a Tosfos that said they need to come to Beis Din. I think it was about the Harugatzel that Gemara. So
yeah,
they can't come to Beis Din after the dead.
Yeah, that's completely different. Yeah.
The says Dafka before they die.
Yeah, that's the deal. Okay, so now the third and final mahalach, which perhaps is the most mechudish mahalach. Their mahalach is from the Ritzkeias. If you ever turn to the Nuki Yosef, it quotes the Ritzkeias, as we'll see, very much is focusing on the diuk of Nitzbal over Avera, right? And not the over Avera himself. So, Moshe Golkowitz, do you see it? The Or Pirish Harib Ben Gaius? That's the key chiddush, right? The chiddush here is that we're going to kill the third aid, even if that third aid wasn't Huzam himself. Why? Nasu. Okay, so we'll get back to that line. All right, so even though you weren't Huzam, you also, the third guy gave the same aid to Sheker. Oh, and what's the raya that the third guy wasn't Huzam? Alma. Right, so again, that's the key. The diuk of the Nimuki of the Ritz Gaius is that the lashon of the Mishnah is Nithpal over Avera. It sounds like you weren't the over Avera himself. It sounds like something is different about the third aid. So says the Ritz Gaius, what's different is that you're not the over Avera in the sense that you, the third aid, wasn't Huzam. So now the question is, so then if he wasn't Huzam, so that works well with the diuk of Nithpal over Avera. But it doesn't work as well, so then what is the Machayim of Azama? According to Rabbi Kiva, you're applying the din of Azama to an aid who wasn't subject to the Manu Ha'isim? What's the idea there? Oh. So again, what's the key line in the Ritz Gaius to account for that? Why are we applying the ownership of Azama to someone who is not... Exactly. So this is where we focus on Sha'avru, the Idu Sheker Kiyotzeve. So the Ritz Gaius is assuming that the mechayev of, right, the underlying mechayev of Hazama is the fact that these Edim gave Edo Sheker. And he sees the Imanu Ha'isem as merely a way to find out that these Edim were Shakranim. But in such a case, where you have Imanu Ha'isem on 2 out of 3, and since the third guy is saying the same thing, so since you have since you know through an Imanu Ha'isem that this third aid gave aid to Sheker, even though that third aid Sheker wasn't subject to Imanu Ha'isim himself, Afal Pikin, you're going to have the Mechayev of Hazama. So just to point out, if you take the Baal Davar approach, which basically says that part of the essence of Hazama is that this aid was subject to a Taina of Imanu Ha'isim, I think it's harder to say this then. I think it's harder to apply the Din Hazama to the third aid who wasn't subject to Imanu Ha'isim if you accept the Baal Davar approach, which says the whole parsha of Hazama is about treating the Edim Zomim as the Baal Davar. This third aid never became the Baal Davar. But if you take the Trey approach, right, that really the parsha of Hazama is all about, not about the Edim Zomim becoming the Baal Davar. It's all about finding a way to establish that those Edim Zomim gave aid to Sheker. So we point out the Trey approach, they're different umdinos possibly, there's some migus. So then if the Mechayim is just, as long as you know that these Edim were Shakranim, then there's a din of Hazama. So in this case, you can have a way of this third aid being subject to the din of Hazama, even though he wasn't subject to the taina of Imanu Hayisem himself. So what's coming out of this is a huge, huge chiddush. Again, we don't, even the Ritzkeis points out, we don't pass it this way. It's Das Rabbi Akiva, but we don't pass it this way. But this is a sheet of the Tanayim, is that the din of Azama to this third aid, even though he wasn't subject to the taina, if Imanu Hayisem. So what I'm pointing out is that if you see Imanu Hayisem and this idea of the Edom Zomim becoming Balei Davar is part of the essence of what Azama is all about, then it's very difficult to apply the din of Azama to this third aid who is not subject to the din, to the taina, to the edus of Imanu Hayisem. But if you see Azama as more of a trey, it's all about, right, finding a way to establish that these Edom Zomim were the Shakranim. So in this case, in the end of the day, we know that this third aid was a Shakran, even though, right, because he said the same thing as the other two Edim who were subject to Imanu Hayisem. So if you take that approach, it's all about finding out that they gave Edim Sheker. So in this case, you is a tzad to apply Hazam. Yeah. So again, it depends. If you see the Baal Davar approach as only a way to establish that the Mazimim were believed over the Zomim, so then you can say something like this also. But again, for sure, if you take a Shem Eid Zomim approach, and even if you think that, no, part of like just the process of Hazama, you need this, right, this construct of the Edim Zomim becoming the Balei Davar, so then you're not going to say this. But you're right, if the idea of the Balei Davar approach is just a way to give Ne'emanus to the Mazimim over the Zomim, so then you can say, oh, we got to that goal, right, without treating this third guy as the Baal Davar himself. You hear what I'm saying?
Why is there what's the sad natural word Baal Davar that would say that there's something special about the Baal Davar?
Again, because, meaning, especially if you take the Mishnah Daf Hei, right, it's Achi Yazimu Es Atzman. That part, right, according to the Baal Davar approach, it could be that part of the Tzura of Hazama. And if you take the Baal Davar approach, it could be that part of the Tzura of the Parsha of Azama is when these Edom Zomim were the Balei Davar. So yet, even if, right, so again, even if that was just a, you know, Hechatimsa to get to the, but again, that became the Tzura of Azama, is that the Edom Zomim were the Balei Davar. So therefore, it could be that it's limited to such a case. What? But what's the Gzeris Hakasav? Meaning, again, I think it's just, I think you just have less flexibility, right? I think within the tray approach, so there's no value in like, oh, being mazim this guy. It's all about hechatimsa to get a case where you trust the mazim or the zovim. Therefore, I think it's easier to therefore say this chiddush to say, if you know the third guy is a chakran, he's a chakran. Who cares how you found it out? But if you take the Baal Davar approach, there's a tzad to say, I'm not saying you have to say this, tzad to say that this became the tzura of what Hazama is. Is the Edom Zomim becoming the Balei Davar? And once that's the case, it could be that needs to be the tzura. Because of the chasana later, I really want to start on time, so one last hour and then I'll take any questions. Once you have, right, this shita, at least like the Ritz Geis, B'Shem Rabbi Akiva, that there is a tzad to apply the Onesh Hazama to the third aid, even though he wasn't to his own, I think we can use that to now explain, right, the Havamina of the Rambam. Right, the Rambam, Rafi asked me, said, why do you keep on having us see the same Rambam in a parakhav, Halacha Gimel, right? So I said, oh, because this time we're focusing on a different part of the Rambam. Right, the Rambam in that case, where it says you have four Edim, right, two Edim, that they were separated by, they're Meish Shlotoch de Dibur, and he says, oh, we don't, right, you only give the Onesh Hazama to the first two, not to the last two. And the Rambam asks, what's the Havamina? Why does the Rambam have to say that the last two don't get the Onesh Hazama? Says the Rambam, of course they don't get the Onesh Hazama. They weren't Huzam. So now, according, and again, the Lecha Mishnah goes out of his way, oh, to be Mokim, maybe the case of the Rambam must be that the last two were also Huzam. But according to this, now we can understand the Havamina. The Havamina of the Rambam is the Havamina of the Ritz Geis. Or is the Maskana of the Ritz Geis, B'Shem the Rebbe Kiva. Maybe the Rambam is trying to say, don't say this idea of the Ritz Geis, B'Shem Rebbe Kiva. Don't say that once the Kat, or once, you know, part of the Kat who was saying the same thing was Huzam, therefore you'd extend the Onesh Hazama to everyone who's saying the same thing. Mashmalan, not that way. So based on this Ritz Chaos, I think we can understand what the Havamina was of the Rambam, that the Rambam had to go out of his way to say that, that don't give the Onesh Hazama to the last two Edom, even though they were in Huzam. Based on the Ritz Chaos, we can understand what the Havamina would have been. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to the Tosfos.